Morning, folks. How you doing today? My name is Pastor Russ. I'm with the Father's Heart Ministry here in Rochester, New York. And I'll just give you a quick kind of like thing of what we do at our ministry. We have a mobile soup kitchen. We have a food truck that we take out into the inner city of Rochester 3 days a week. All over the inner city in areas where nobody wants to go, and we feed them a free meal, groceries, a bag of groceries, free meal, clothing, all sorts of shoes and sneakers that we got donated, and we have Bibles and tracts and literature. But before we go into these areas, we set up our truck, and we set up our tables and everything, and we give out a gospel message before we give out any of the food. So it's been a real blessing. We've been doing it, my wife and myself, been doing it for over 12 years now here in the inner city. We just started another branch off of our ministry. It's called Redeeming Love, and my wife and a few other women, they go out into the streets during the week, during the day, with our other truck, and they go out, and she ministers to the women that are being sex trafficked on the streets and feeds them and prays for them, and it's a very hardcore ministry, to be honest with you, and I just thank God for my wife that she's doing this. Been doing it for over a year now. It's really starting to grow pretty rapidly. But we have some stuff out there on the table out there. I encourage you guys, I'm going to be sharing a little message out of Isaiah. And I just want to encourage you guys to get involved. We have many different church groups coming out with us to minister alongside of us. You could come with your church and bring a group out and serve on it. We go out Thursday nights, Friday nights, and Saturday during the day. You can come out. We have a lot of different church groups that come out with us and come and help serve the food, the work in the truck. They could be praying for people, handing out the clothing, and doing stuff like that. It's been a real blessing. These people are, I'll tell you, the people on the streets are very, very blessed. They're walking away with $150 worth of free groceries every single week, 3 days a week at all of our locations. So I encourage you guys to come on out and check us out because you'll be really, really blessed. Everybody's like, oh, I'm afraid to go into the city right now. I don't want to go into the city. You know, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. And I'm just blessed to be here with you guys. Pastor Domenico is away on his crusade right now. And him and I, we both got ordained the same day at Koinonia Fellowship. I don't know how many years ago. It's been a few years now. But we're kind of cut from the same rug, so to say. He's a street preacher. I'm a street preacher. I don't consider myself a teacher of God's word. I consider myself more of an evangelist slash teacher, kind of like. I'm excited to be here today with you guys. I'm excited to share God's word with you guys. So why don't we pray real quick, and then we'll open up to God's word, and we'll go before the Lord now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that you would bless your word today, Lord. And I ask that you would be glorified in this place today, Lord. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord. And Lord, that you would stir up our hearts, Lord, to do those things that you would have us to do, Lord. We thank you for this fellowship. I pray that you'd bless it, Lord. And Lord, that you would cause it to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Going to be in Isaiah chapter 6 today, and my message to you would be, who will go for us? We'll read, I added an extra verse in there, but I'm just going to reflect on that at the end of our study today. But Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 10, it says, and this is the Lord speaking here. Isaiah is there listening, and he says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?' And then Isaiah says, 'Then I said, Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep seeing, but do not perceive.'" In verse 10, it says, "Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." You got to understand that Isaiah was one of the most well-known prophets in the Bible because he was the one that predicted the coming of the Messiah. He predicted the coming of Jesus. And he also, God also used Isaiah to bring warnings of judgment and destruction and promises of hope and prosperity for God's people. You see, God had been seeking to reach a difficult and stubborn people. And here's Isaiah making himself available to God. And he says, he sees the vision of God. And he not only sees the vision of God, but he hears the voice of God, and he obeys the voice of God. And so in verse 8 it says, "I heard the voice of the Lord." You know, what does that mean when we hear the voice of the Lord? Is it God's voice speaking audibly? God speaks in his voice in many different ways in the Bible to different people, places and things. I mean, God, the voice of the Lord, I just came to me. Think of it. The voice of the Lord came through a donkey. Came actually through a donkey's donkey spoke. That's pretty crazy. And but the voice of the Lord, we know, is powerful. And Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying to him, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" I want you to hear this. Psalm 29. This is what the Lord kind of put on my heart. What is the voice of the Lord? I want you to Psalm 29, great verses here. It says in verse 3 of Psalm 29, it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters." Wow, that's crazy. "The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars." Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. "He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire." And it goes on, "The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh." And then in verse 9, it says, "The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare." You know, you think about these verses here and how powerful God's voice is. You know, you think about in the book of Genesis where God, the Bible says that he breathed life into existence. That's a powerful, powerful voice. That is the voice that is above every voice. That is the name that is above every name. His voice is the voice that every single one of us should desire to hear and obey in our lifetimes as Christians. I don't know how you guys are about, can I get an amen to that? Yeah. Amen. You know, when you look at all these characteristics of God's voice, we agree that the voice can do all these powerful things. It's not only a powerful voice, but not only that, but the owner of the voice must be is powerful as well. God's voice is so powerful. So, you know, when we hear God's voice, the Bible says to obey God's voice. You know, you think about you know, in the I think it's in the book of Acts, where they were saying, should we obey God or should we obey man? And the voice of the Lord is in the face of Jesus. Jesus is the voice of God. And we know that because the scriptures tell us that. In Isaiah here, he hears the voice of God, and God says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And he said, here I am, Lord, I'll go. You know, just like, you know, when God has a calling on somebody's life, and he calls us to do something for him, to be in a, maybe, put it this way, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever you do, you know, whatever God, that's your mission field. That's where God has you to be that voice for him. And, you know, we don't want to be arrogant. You know, we don't want to be, give Christ a bad name. We have to always make sure that if we're moving with the voice of God, that we're being anointed by the God of the Bible, and that God is leading us and directing us and showing us. And here we see Isaiah. He says, God says to him, who shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. You know, here's the thing. I read this. It says, once God has touched your life, then God wants to use your life to touch others. God has a work that he wants us to do. God has a work that he wants you and I, you personally, to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. And it says the man whose life has been touched by God becomes an available instrument for God. And no longer does Isaiah feel unworthy and unable to serve. He's eager to go. And he says, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll go. You know, and you know, sometimes we don't feel like we're qualified to go, do we? We don't feel worthy enough to go. Well, I'm so thankful that the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by our emotions and our feelings, because if we did that in our whole Christian walk, man, the devil would make mincemeat out of every single one of us. But we have to walk by faith. And faith, we know, is something that is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here's Isaiah. He's got that faith, and he wants to go. And he has a willing heart to go, and he wants to go. But sometimes, you know, as believers, we don't feel like we can go because we're not qualified enough, or we haven't had the education or whatever, the qualifications. We're not trained enough. We don't have enough experience, so to say. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John, they were arrested for the preaching of the gospel. They just got done healing the lame man. And I think this is a great example. You know, you don't have to have experience. You don't have to have a great amount of training. You don't have to have any of these things to be a vessel that God can use as his voice. Here they are in verse 2. It says that the religious, we're not going to read through all these, but you can read through them as we go. It says in verse 2, the religious leaders, they were greatly disturbed. They were disturbed because they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the truth. In verse 3, it says they were put in jail. They were put in custody because of their faith and because of their boldness for Jesus. But I love in verse 4, it says that many believed in the word. And there was about 5,000 people that came to Jesus in that time. They were bold in their faith. And the Bible says in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4, it says, now listen to this. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. They weren't trained. They were uneducated. They didn't have it all together. They were just regular men that were willing to yield to serve the Lord. And that's what God wants from us. He just wants a humble heart that's willing to serve and willing to come to him. You know, I never graduated from high school. I'm not this big theologian guy. I don't really know anything without Christ. But God has done a mighty miracle in my life. I was a drug addict for 16 years of my life. And Jesus Christ, in 1997, in my apartment, all strung out, came into my life in one split second and set me free from a life of drugs. 1 second, that's all it took. I'm not educated. I don't consider myself, you know, smart. I'm not really that smart. I actually think I'm pretty dumb. It says, but now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. You see? Because why? Look at the last half of that verse. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. They realized that these men were with Jesus. That's key. You got to be with Jesus. You see, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things for him. Amen? You see, people in the world, you see, when I got saved, my old friends, the things that I used to do, I didn't want to do them anymore. Because God had opened my eyes up and opened my heart up to his wonderful grace and mercy and love for me. And I was completely changed. But when you go out of these walls of the church, guys, because that's where the mission field is. You see, we come to church to get fed, to get fatted up, so that when we go back out the walls of the church, that we would go out, and like Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, and then the river gets empty, kind of like. And then you got to come back and you got to get filled again. And you know, it shouldn't be just coming to church. It's on a daily basis that we should be getting filled every day. But the world has no clue, especially today. Man, we live in a world murders and crimes and heinousness. It's just crazy now. It's crazy. I mean, what God calls evil, the Bible says that the world is calling it all good. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. No, we got to look to God's word as the source of our strength. We got to look to God's word for wisdom, for discernment. That's why it's the book of life. It's alive. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who is being saved is the power of God, right? When we're saved, our eyes are open, the scales fall off of our eyes, and the message of the cross, it makes sense to us now, doesn't it? You see, sometimes I don't like this when people go out there and they beat people over the head with the Bible. And you make sure that if you're sharing God's word, that you're doing it in God's spirit, and with God's love, and with God's grace, and with the kindness of God. And I'm so thankful that that Isaiah made himself available to God, and he said, here I am, God, I'll go. You know, it's a rough place out there, Lord, but you know what? I'm going to go. These people are wicked. They're stubborn. They're evil. They're against me. But God, I'll go because you're telling me to go, and that's what I'm supposed to do, God. That's what your word says. God chooses the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God chooses the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Again, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And here's the key. Just be willing. Be willing to go. Make yourself available to God. Here I am, God. You know, you're calling me to go to the Father's Heart Ministry down in the city of Rochester, even though I don't feel like it, even though nobody wants to go down there. Lord, here I am. If God speaks to you about that, you go. That's being in the will of God. God, I'm willing. I'm willing to go. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the fruit of the land. Be willing. Be obedient. The Bible says it's better to what? Obey than to sacrifice. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, he said that, behold, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Who will go for us? In verses 9 and 10, God says to Isaiah, go and tell the people, they keep on hearing, but they do not understand. They keep seeing, but they do not perceive. He says, go tell the people. Go tell them about me. Go tell them that there's judgment coming. Go tell them if these things are happening. Just look at the news today. Turn on the TV. I don't watch the news anymore. It's been like 3 years. I don't watch it. It's just, I got enough issues trying to walk with Jesus than to worry about what's on TV and to listen to all the garbage. I do watch the local news. That's about it. Go tell the people, he says. Go tell them about me. And you know what? It says, keep on hearing. Keep giving it to them. Keep telling them about me. Some of you have family members that don't know Jesus. You know, those are sometimes the hardest people to minister to be honest with you. They don't want to hear it from their loved ones. But be careful. Be prayed up. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Be prayed up in those times because God will open up a door. And most of the time, what I've found out is that most of the time, you don't have to open up any doors. God opens up the door for you. He just puts it right in front of you. Something's going on in their life or whatever. They ask you a question. You just tell them about Jesus. No greater thing than to tell people about Jesus. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of our God will last forever. Everything, we were created for a purpose. We were created to worship God. We were created to have a relationship with God. That's why God made us. And we need to be... I was going to say, you know, the only thing that will matter in life is not how much money you have, how good of a job you have, how big of a house you have. The only thing that will matter in the end is what did we do with eternal perspectives. What did we do for the kingdom of heaven? It's simple, yet so many people, they want to go their own way. You know, I say this all the time when I'm preaching on the streets. I say, you know, guys, I have never seen a hearse going down the street with a trailer hitch on the back of it. Have you? Because naked you come into this world, and naked you will leave this world. You cannot take anything with you but your soul that will last forever. The Bible says that your soul is much more precious than gold or silver that would perish. God says to him, go and tell the people. Keep giving it to them. Even though they don't understand, they keep seeing, but they don't perceive. You know, the Bible says that some plant the seed, some waters the seed, but God who makes the increase. It's always God who's doing the work. We are just his voice. We're just his vessel that he uses. And I'm so thankful to God that he desires to use a vessel like me, because my heart is desperately wicked, deceitful. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness. I'm so thankful that when I sin, not that I sin on purpose, but you know, when I sin, I have an advocate. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and I have a God who, the Bible says, if I confess my sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That's a promise. No matter how we feel. See, that's what the enemy does. He comes and he gets us to feel condemned and not feel like we know Jesus. And therefore, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. The Bible declares that. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, it's a problem in churches today, that people just sit in the pews and they warm their behinds. When there's people out there at your work, in your family, where you go to school, that could die this very day and spend eternity in hell. And Jesus said, if we don't go out and preach the gospel, he said that the very rocks would cry out. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I don't want to be a pastor, an evangelist that goes out there and, you know what, the rocks start crying out because of my unwillingness to open up my mouth and be a vessel that God can use. Let me just say something. God wants to use you. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, God desires to use your life. The Bible says in Romans, it says that you yourself are a guide and a light to those that are in darkness. For it is God who is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, it says, go and tell them, keep on hearing, but they do not understand. It says in verse 10, it says, make the heart of the people dull. I'm going to go back a bit here. It says, keep on seeing and they don't understand. You know what? The things of God are not natural. The things of God have to be spiritually discerned, right? You have to have the Spirit of God to be able to discern these things. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can they know him because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the world, they got no clue because they're not in Christ. They're not followers of Jesus. They're following the ways of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things are of the world and not of the Father. But the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will last forever. The world has no clue. And that's why God wants to use you and I. He doesn't need us, but he desires to use us. Isn't that beautiful? That God wants to use. I mean, you think about that. About the voice of the over the seas, over the calves, over all that stuff, all that. And God desires to live inside of this vessel right here, a little pinhead on the face of the earth, and desires to use our lives to speak truth into other people's lives. In verse 10, it says, make the heart of the people dull and the ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand their heart and return and be healed. Now, I was kind of like, man, what does that mean? I was like, is God telling them, you know, and I just didn't understand it. It was, so I had to look up a few things, and you know, it's from the heart that corruption flows to the ears and the eyes, and of the corrupt state of their heart. The people were corrupt. Isaiah's ministry would make some people's eyes more blind and more deaf and their hearts more calloused. That's kind of what this means, this last. God is not making sinners blind, in other words. And I'll close with this. This is from a book from Warren Wiersbe, and I love this. He says that God does not, and this is like on verse 10 here, kind of little commentary, and I think it says it perfect. It says that God does not deliberately make sinners blind and deaf, blind and deaf, and hard-hearted, but the more they resist God's truth, the less they are able to receive God's truth. Let me repeat that again. God does not deliberately make sinners blind and deaf and hard-hearted, but the more they resist the truth, the less they are able to receive God's truth. And then it goes on and it says, but a servant of the Lord must proclaim the word. No matter how the people respond, it's not the test of the ministry or anything about the ministry. It's about proclaiming the word no matter how the people respond. And I'll just stop right there for a second because I'm on the streets all the time. I'm in the ghetto. We're in the worst parts of the city, all right? And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on as I'm preaching it's not up to me. You know, we're just, my pastor says it all the time, Pastor Dave Tomaso. He says, we're just heralders of God's word. We just bring forth the word of God, and you know what? You let God's word do what God's word needs to do. He'll do all the work. The Bible says it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We just, as servants of the Lord, we must just proclaim the word, or, you know, witness or evangelize. You know, we're all evangelists. Do you know that? Every one of us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And it goes on, but then it goes on, it says, but fulfill thy ministry, to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill thy ministry. God has called us to, every one of us, whether you're 3 weeks old in the Lord or 50 years old in the Lord, has called you and I to be evangelists, to be his voice, and to share God's word with people. And it's not up to us, you know, to see the fruit all the time. It's God's job to bring the people to you. It's our job to be faithful to God, to bring the word of God to them and the love of God to them. It's being faithful to the Lord and his calling. Being faithful to the Lord and his calling. It's a simple thing, yet so many people are afraid to share their faith with people openly. They're afraid of being rejected. I think of it this way. I'm like, you know, God, there's people going to hell, and Lord, I just want to be a man that God can use. And someday when we stand before God, we're going to give an account of everything that we've done for him. And I want to be like Isaiah. I want to be like Isaiah. You know, Lord, heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I don't care what anybody thinks. You know what? Make fun of me. Do what you want. Because you know what? When I was a dope addict, when I was a drug addict, strung out on drugs, and Jesus came into that room that night and set me free, something that nobody else in the whole entire universe could do, God was able to do in my life. I don't care what people think. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. It's on the side of our truck, the Father's Heart Ministry. The life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to just encourage you guys. Step out. Step out in faith. Ask the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Ask God. God, where would you have me to do? Not only in the church, but outside of the church. What would you have me to do? What would you have me to get involved with outside the church that I might be a voice for you? Some type of ministry, pregnancy center, Caring Choices, Compass Care, or the Father's Heart Ministry, or Open Door Mission, or something I found that the greatest times of being used by God are the times that I don't feel like doing stuff, are the greatest times I've been used by God. Is when I don't feel like it. I'm out of my comfort zone. Because when you're out of your comfort zone and you're doing something for the Lord and you don't feel in your comfort zone, the more you have to rely upon his strength. Because he's the rock and he will lead you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that you put upon my lips, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage this fellowship, Lord, that you would bless them. And Lord God, that you'd make your face shine upon them, Lord. And Lord, that you'd be glorified in this place. And you'd stir up the body here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.